Well, thank you for that. Thank you, ladies. That's a good job. They often get up in the high places up there over the choir and play the violins for us. Sometimes we might not hear it as clear with all the rest of the music, but that's a real good job. We appreciate it very much. Well, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Luke tonight. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4 for just a little while. I know what some of you are thinking. Preacher, don't you know we got a party after church? Uh-huh. I've talked to the preacher about it all afternoon, I'll tell you. His response is not good. Somebody said there's three things hard to do. Three things. One is to climb a fence leaning toward you. The other one is to kiss a lady leaning away from you. And the third one is to preach to folks when they know there's something to eat waiting. Now, I have climbed a fence with great effort leaning toward me. The second one's none of your business. And I'll do my best with the third one. All right, amen. Luke chapter 4, look at verse 16. Let's see if that's where I want to go. I believe it is. Luke 16. I think that's right. Hold on with me just a moment. Yes, 4:16. Jesus has been out in the wilderness. He's been tempted by the devil. He's coming back now, returning to Galilee. And in verse 16, it says he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, hometown. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And by the way, that's a custom still, even in synagogues today. Verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, why was every eye on him? He did something unusual. He'd been in the synagogue before. They knew who he was. He was following the procedure. The book of Isaiah had been offered to him. He chose the passage to read. And what got every eye on him was that he didn't complete the passage. And what he was reading from was Isaiah chapter 61. You might want to flip over there just a little bit and look at it. And in Isaiah chapter 61, we find out there that he stopped in the middle of a verse. Look at it in chapter 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that after the word Lord, there's a comma. Notice it there. "And the day of vengeance of our God." And Jesus didn't read that part. He broke it right in the middle of the verse where the comma was. And they looked at him. Every eye was on him. They didn't understand what he was doing. Why did he break it? Now, among Bible students and preachers today, sometimes we refer to this comma right after the Lord as the 2,000-year comma. Or what we're saying is, between that comma and the day of vengeance of our God, we're counting right now 2017, over 2,000 years. Now, truthfully, Christ didn't start his ministry till probably about 30 A.D., so the 2,000 years is not quite up yet. But what I'm saying to you, there's a gap. Jesus stopped because he came the first time to do exactly what he did. And there's a gap, and you and I are living in the gap tonight, the church age. And he's going to take up where he left off and finish the job when he gets back. Now, I had the choir singing tonight, and we always around here make a lot about the second coming of Christ, and the roll is called up yonder. We're going to be there. We were singing that earlier tonight, and I just want to quickly, if I can, say just a few things about it. I want to say why Jesus must return. First, he's going to return to fulfill his word. Look at it here in verse 21. He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And he's coming back to fulfill the rest of it. But he broke it right there at the comma. He stopped at a certain point when he came for the first time. Now he's coming back to finish the job that was predicted here in this verse. Now the Bible says in Titus 2:13 that he's our blessed hope. You and I that are saved, born again, waiting for the trumpet. He said in John 14, if I go away, I will come again. He said in Acts chapter 1, as the angel showed up, as he ascended up, and they said to the men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. And so he's going to come back to fulfill his word. His word is full of the fact that he's going to come back. Let me hurry on to say that he's not only coming back to fulfill his word, he's coming back to finish his work. And that's all in the verse right here. He's got more to do. He's coming back to raise the saints. Boy, won't that be a day. Man, oh man. He's coming back to raise the saints. I don't know about you, but after all the birthdays I've had, I could use a new body. Anybody agree with me? You could use a new body? Amen. Somebody said, praise the Lord, we'll have a new body. Somebody said, praise the Lord, we'll have a new wife. That's a joke. Praise God, the wife will have a new husband too. Amen. Oh, the truth of the matter, and don't get me off on that. You get me sidetracked on the husband and wife business now. But he's coming back to raise the saints. Most of you know that at the resurrection morning, when the ladies went into the tomb, and Peter and John ran, and they went into the tomb. You remember what they found in the tomb? They found the clothes of Jesus. And by the way, don't pay too much attention to all the business about the robe and all that business. But you know what? Jesus had a napkin wrapped around his head. Remember that story in the Bible? And you remember when they went in, they saw the napkin folded in a certain place when they went in the tomb? Remember that? Well, you remember what I've told you before, that when the Jewish father was having company and having a supper, and his servants were serving the table and waiting, there was a little code message that went on between the father of the home and the servants. And they watched him close, because right near the end, as the supper was ended, if the father took the napkin and he folded it up like that, and just didn't fold it up, but just kind of wrinkled it up and threw it down, the servant knew that's it. It's over. Supper's over. Pretty soon we'll start cleaning up. But if the head of the house, if the father took the napkin and he folded it just so and just right and he laid it over there, that was a code to the servants. There's more to come. Something else. Another serving. We'd call it maybe dessert. But something is coming. I want to tell you, when Jesus folded the napkin and left that tomb, he was saying, there's more to come. I'm coming back. I'm going to finish the work that I was given to do. I'm going to raise the saints. I'm going to change them in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know what we have now? Do you understand? You have salvation. Far as your soul, there'll nothing be added to it. But you know our salvation's not complete until the resurrection and we get a new body. That's right. Go over with me real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me show you something I'm sure you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And pick it up in about verse 5. Here's a portion you hear read a lot at funerals. And we thank God, absent the body, present with the Lord, talking about the soul. And then we take the body and we put it in the ground. But look at it here in verse 4 and 5 of 2 Corinthians 5. It says, for we that are in this tabernacle, this body, do groan, being burdened. Burdened with birthdays, amen. Burdened with a lot of disease. Burdened with a lot of things. We're burdened in this flesh. Do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Watch it now, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us, and here's the word I want you to get, the earnest of the Spirit. Do you know what that means? It means from the time I got saved on, the Spirit of God's lived within me to remind me that one day he's coming back to get the whole possession. He's going to change it. He's going to pull it out of the ground and change it, or he's going to change it in the air, but he's going to change it in the moment, the twinkle of an eye. And then my salvation would be 100% complete. Not only body, soul, and not only soul and spirit, but body will be changed too. Man, he's going to finish the work. Finish the work. You know, since I got saved, I've enjoyed the earnest of the Spirit. The down payment, if you please. Living inside. Speaking to me. Walking with me. Correcting me. Doing all those things that the Spirit of God does. And I've enjoyed that walk with the Lord. And if I've enjoyed it so much, what's it going to be like when I don't have to fight the flesh? when there's total agreement in everything the Lord wants me to do. No pull of the flesh. No doubts about it. Man, I don't know about you, but the time I got saved, you've heard my testimony. I got saved on a Sunday night. Monday morning, I was working in the Orange Grove for Minute Maid. I could take you to the spot, except they've built houses on the spot now. And that morning, about daylight, I went out there in the truck we'd left over the weekend with a load of fruit on it. I backed it up to the load machine. I don't have time to teach you about that. But a load machine, you dump the fruit in the bottom, and the paddles went up and dumped it into the, just made a circle and dumped it in the trailer. That morning, Monday morning, sunrise, it was a different sunrise. Oh, I didn't cry about it yet. There was something singing in my heart that had never been there before. There was a word from God that said, it's all right now, Mickey. Everything's okay. The past is forgiven. You're mine now. There was something inside that made the birds seem like they sang prettier that morning. And the oranges looked like gold that morning. And the sunrise, I'd never seen it so, because something was living in there that had never lived before. A new spirit. The earnest of the Spirit was inside. From that day to this, there's been times I've grieved him, but even in the grieving, I knew it was there. I knew it was there. And the pain I might have felt, I knew it was there. And the truth is, there's been some personal covenants I've made with the Lord through the years and never shared them with anybody but him. And I've watched God fulfill his end. And by his grace, I was where I was supposed to be. And in the lowest days and valleys, and when I hurt the most over something, he was still there. He was still there. Never forsake, never leave, as the scripture talks about. And that was a personal thing. And it's been good to walk in the earnest of the Spirit. But what about when it's whole? Huh? When he comes back and raises the saints, changes old fallen flesh into a glorious body like unto his. My. I tell you what else, he's come back to finish his work, not only to raise the saints, but to reunite families. Man, I love my dad and mom. Boy, it'll be great to see them. I mean, it'll be precious to see them. I remember as a little kid, dad would be away on the truck sometime for weeks, and we'd talk with mother about when is daddy coming, when is daddy coming. And oh, it was a great time when he arrived. Sometime he'd arrive in the middle of the night, and we'd wake up, and he'd be there. Precious time. No comparison. No comparison to what it's going to be like when I see mom and dad and the loved ones on the other side, and now we've got so many church members, so much of our church family on the other side. Boy, what a time it'll be. And you know what? The Lord is so good. If you were to go over there and look at it in 2 Thessalonians, what is it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I guess it is. If we went over and looked at it, we'd see over there that God is so good. Listen to it.
He says, for verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go ahead of them which are asleep. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, what, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He's telling these people at the church at Thessalonica, you don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope. He said, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, I'm going to meet mom and dad in the air. I don't understand how, but it's going to happen that way because God said it was. He's so good, we don't even have to wait till we get, as it were, to heaven. We're going to meet him in the air. He's coming back to finish his work. And then I'll tell you something else. He's coming back to finalize the winner. This old world has picked the wrong one to win. Did you know that? Satan is the god of this world, the scripture says. And the world is sided with him. And all you got to do is turn on the tube today, listen to the news, it makes you sick. Read the newspaper, makes you sick. How can it be? I saw even in the newspaper this afternoon where the wannabe governors that's going to take Governor Scott's place are already out courting the homosexual movement. Speaking to them, listen, when a politician will do anything, kiss up as it were to the devil himself to win, he won't get my vote. Guarantee you that. But that's what's happening. The world's picked the wrong winner, though. Jesus is the winner. I'm on the winning side, the song says. Bless God, that's true. You know, if you were to look at it, go over to, well, I'll just read it to you. But it'd be good for you to look at it. Psalms 24. Just look at the end of Psalms 24. Think about it. The world don't know this. Here's the answer. They don't know who the winner is, but we do. We do. Psalms 24 says in verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Oh, I know who the King of glory is. He's my King. He's my Savior, but he's my Savior now and my coming King. Oh, yes. Thank God I'm on the winning side. The world don't know much about that, but if you're saved, you do. If you're saved, you've got the earnest of the Spirit saying, okay, he's coming back to take full possession. He's coming back to make a change, to give you total victory. You say, well, I got to go to the doctor. I'm hurting here. Now, okay, go ahead. Patch it up best you can. But it's got to be changed before it's going to be good.
That's right.
Amen. I've joked about it before. I've said, take all the vitamin pills you want. Buckle the seat belts. Do all those things. And let's extend this old body as long as we can. But it's going to sink. It's like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. The whole thing's going down, brother. By the grace of God, we got something new coming up. He's coming back to finalize the winner. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Do you know him tonight? Is he your Savior tonight? He can't be your coming King unless he's your Savior now. I pray you know him. Would you stand with me, please, with our heads bowed? Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we thank you for those just common truths that we know that we just touched on a little bit from your word. Thank you, Father. He is coming back to finish that verse. He is coming back taking vengeance on his enemies. But, Father, I thank you that he came the first time and paid for my sins on the cross of Calvary. I thank you because of that, he's my Savior. And because of that, he's my coming King. Bless the invitation for that one that needs to make a decision, make a move tonight. For that one that needs to receive Christ as Savior, I pray for them. Whatever else you've asked someone to do, may they surrender to you tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If God's asked you to do something, you do it. You come as we sing.